Good morning, everyone. The first reading comes from Book of Psalms, chapter 137, verses 1 through 6. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows, there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for our songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forgot you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. The second reading comes from the book of John, chapter 11, verses 23 to 25. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that we will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe in this?" This is the word of God.
Thank you, Hudson, for the reading. Let us pray together. Lord our God, we are thankful for your love. We are thankful for your grace. And we thank you for your word. Thank you that we can open it anytime, that it's relevant, that it still speaks to us to this day. And as we await your message for us, I pray that your spirit will open our hearts and our minds to receive your message for us this morning. In the name of Jesus, we ask, amen. Have you ever wondered, how could God let this happen? Like when just over a week ago, Drew and Ethan, two 14-year-old boys from Roslyn, were killed in a car accident when they were traveling and it was hit by a drunk driver. Or when a baby is diagnosed with cancer. Or when students lose their lives in a mass shooting. And I can go on and on. I mean, with many more other examples, but why do bad things happen to good people? That's the question that we're asking today as we continue the series of sermons called Questions to God. And so I Googled that question this past Thursday. Why do bad things happen to good people? Do you know how many hits I got? More than 3 billion. Seems like a lot of people, you know, are asking this question. And you're probably one of them. God, why do bad things happen to good people? And we've all heard different answers to that question, some from a faith perspective, and some not. And you've probably heard some cliche responses like, well, it's to teach that person a lesson. Or it was a punishment. Or it's to be an example to others. Heaven needed another angel. Or it happened because, you know, God doesn't exist. You know, there's no rhyme or reason to what happens in the world. And yet all these answers come up short, don't they? They just don't satisfy in the face of human suffering, especially if we want to maintain belief in a good, all-knowing, and all-powerful God. And quite honestly, some of those answers can cause more harm than good when people are hurting. And so always be careful, okay? Always be careful of what you are saying to someone who is hurting and asking, how could God let this happen? And I wish I could give you a short and a definitive answer today. You know, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, this is why. Amen. I mean, that would be a great and a short and a memorable sermon. Unfortunately, I can't. And Scripture does not give us easy answers either. But it might direct us to ask different or more helpful questions and provide comfort along the way. So Psalm 137 is what's called a psalm of lament. And about one-third of all the psalms in the Bible will fall into this category. They express intense emotions and real and difficult human struggles. The Israelites here have been forcefully removed from their homeland after the ruin of the temple in Jerusalem by the Babylonians. And they are living under enemy rule. They're foreigners and captives in a strange land. They're going through a very, very difficult time. They're far from home, no idea when they will ever return, if ever. And they say, weeping, we sit beside the rivers of Babylon thinking of Jerusalem. They've put away their musical instruments. For how can we sing? How can we sing? Yet our captors, our tormentors demand that we sing for them the happy songs of Zion. Their captors taunt them, asking them to sing happy songs in the midst of their misery. Just like we experience our own kind of pain, our own kind of suffering today, they are suffering and they're in pain. And perhaps they feel abandoned by God. How could God let this happen to them when they are supposed to be God's chosen people? Now, maybe you have learned it is wrong to question God or to complain to God. That it's something a believer is not supposed to do. But the presence of this psalm and others like it in the Bible show us that lament is a valid response to suffering. It is an expected reaction. The people in the Bible's lament is not explained away or edited out of the story. Because you see, God can handle our anger. He can handle our sorrow. He's big enough for all of our questions and even our resentment. I mean, look at what the writer asks God to do in the last two verses of the psalm. He says, O Babylon, evil beast, ye shall be destroyed. Blessed is the man who destroys you as you have destroyed us. Blessed is the man who takes your babies and smashes them against the rocks. I mean, that's some strong language. The writer is asking for horrific revenge against their enemies. And what it shows is that the depth and the brutal honesty of the pain being expressed by people. However, even though, you know, this graphic verse is included in the psalm, it does not mean that God will answer this prayer for revenge or that God condones the attitude of vengeance. But what is important to note is that God is able to bear even our most difficult emotions. And notice the psalm does not attempt to answer the question of why God's chosen people are experiencing exile and oppression. God is not depicted as a puppet master who pulls the strings to make good and bad things happen to people. And so then what does God do? And what's God's role in relation to human suffering? I think we have to zoom out from this passage to kind of like see the bigger picture. And when we do that, we see that God's people, as they face oppression and different challenges through their history, God is always there. He's always present. And He's faithful to them. So what I'm saying is that God cares when people suffer. He cares when you and I suffer. And He responds. But not always in the way we want, of course. Or on the timeline that we might want. Because ultimately God is God and we are not. And we see an example of this pattern in our New Testament passage for today. Mary and Martha are grieving. Okay, their brother, Lazarus, died. And while he was ill, they sent for Jesus. But Jesus somehow took 2 days to get there. And when Jesus finally shows up, Martha says to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you just came when we called for you, he would still be alive." Jesus does not rebuke them for their sadness or for blaming him. He joins them in their grief. When Jesus saw that Mary and the people with her were crying, he was terribly upset and asked, "Where have you put his body?" They replied, "Lord, come and you will see." And Jesus started crying. What I want you to know is that Jesus, God with us, feels our pain with and also alongside us. And God responds to our suffering. In the case of Lazarus, Jesus raised him from the dead, made him alive again. For the people of Israel in Babylonian captivity, they were eventually allowed to return to Jerusalem. Eventually, the temple that had been destroyed was rebuilt and then eventually destroyed again. And so the point is not that everything will turn out well in the end, or that God will step in always and reverse our pain and our suffering. Rather, God comes into our suffering and He brings redemption and goodness out of the midst of it through moments of love and meaning and hope and a sense of His presence and healing. And I'm not saying that this makes it less difficult or less painful. What I'm saying is God is there in it with us, doing what only God can do in the midst of tragedy. So I want you to think about something. I want you to reflect on where you stand with respect to God and your own suffering, or other people's suffering. Do you believe you're not supposed to be angry? Do you feel like you can never question God? Are you maybe currently upset or angry with God? Are you maybe doubting God's goodness? I want you to know that there's space for your questions. There's permission to lament and grieve. Instead of turning away from God in your suffering, pray about how you can let God into it. And also, as a person of faith, you can be the heart. You can be the voice and the hands and the feet of God as others experience suffering. Not to have a pat answer or some cliche about why this is happening, okay? But to be God's presence. Simply be God's presence for them. And to remind them of God's love and care. And that it is okay to be angry. It is okay to be sad or hurting. That God will not abandon them, but be with them in their suffering and their grief. You know, what would it look like if we all spent less energy trying to answer the why or the how could God of what we're going through? And then put that energy into compassion towards others and ourselves. And open ourselves to the compassion that God wants to offer us amidst our suffering. What would it look like if CCD could be the proof for people in our community that God cares when people suffer? Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, we've been asking many different questions, and this is probably one of the most difficult, often asked questions. Why? Why do bad things happen to good people? And what we've learned is that on this side of eternity, we will never know the complete answer or all the answers, but that we should not doubt your presence and your love and your care, your deep care for us in the midst of our suffering. And that it is okay. It is okay to question. It's okay to lament. But may we invite you into that part of who we are and what we're going through, so that your Spirit can work in our lives and heal us. As we pray this in the name of Jesus, amen.